In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in a world invaded by millions of invisible enemies who seek our temporal and eternal ruin. They are the demons. Can we imagine that our planet was invaded by aliens more intelligent and powerful than us? The ruin would be certain, and this is what would happen if we did not have the help of God, the saints, and the angels at our side. Unfortunately, many men do not believe in the existence of demons, evil beings, implacable enemies who can thus work with impunity in silence and in the shadows. All wars, murders, hatred, and violence are in some way promoted by them. Their evil influence encompasses all areas of human activity. And what do we do to counter such a powerful enemy? Do we protect ourselves with prayer and God's weapons? We must know that we are never alone. We have a bodyguard who takes care of us, and he is the guardian angel. The miracles of modern techniques have not made him disappear, but the angel can do nothing before those who do not have faith. Nor can God do anything to someone who has voluntarily abandoned himself to the enemy and has given his soul to the evil one through mortal sin, because God respects the free will of men. How many deaths and how much suffering caused by the evil one? How much peace and joy achieved by faith and prayer? Let's listen to some real examples. A bus of pilgrims goes to San Giovanni Rotondo to visit Padre Pio in Italy. On the way there, they are stopped by a great storm of thunder and lightning. They remember the advice of Padre Pio to send him the guardian angel in case of any difficulty. The next day, when they saw him, Padre Pio told them, "Tonight you woke me up and I had to pray for you. Always do it like this and I will help you." Saint Maria Michaela of the Blessed Sacrament says that on one occasion, during a trip, she invoked her guardian angel, who saved the passengers when the horses ran wild. Saint John Bosco, popularly known as Don Bosco, spoke a lot to the youth about the guardian angel. One of them was a stonemason, and a few days later, he fell off the scaffolding with two others. The stonemason had invoked his guardian angel before work, and he didn't get hurt while the other two died. The difference is clear. How beautiful the world would be if all men had faith and love for God. Their lives would shine like the stars, as Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says. So let us open the doors and windows of our souls to the light of God with sincere repentance. The angels will help us, because they are like mirrors that reflect the light of God around them. The angels bring the love and light of God on things and men. They want your happiness. They are the joy of God in the world, and they smile at you without ceasing when you are in grace and follow their advice. We want to dream of a new world full of light and love, where joy and peace reign, a world full of angels, flowers, and stars, a world without evil, a happy world. Is this a utopia? Someday it will be a reality in the new heaven and in the new earth, where there will be no more death and no more mourning or sadness or pain. The world of the past has gone. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. In the meantime, we must continue the battle to win back the world for God. Remember that your angel is the joy and smile of God by your side. Your guardian angel is there to care for you, and he has a mission to make you happy. When you are sad, think of the joy of God that accompanies you. When you are aimless and disoriented, think of the light of God that illuminates you. And at all times, think that there is an angel of God next to you, a friend who loves you and smiles at you. May the angel of smiles, love, joy, light, and peace always accompany you and give you the happiness of God in your heart. Amen. Let's learn from what the saints tell us about their guardian angels. Let's learn from these experiences that the saints had when they were in this world and in contact with them directly by the grace of God, so we too can put it into practice in our daily lives in the multiple circumstances we might need to go through. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived from 1090 to 1153, reminds his monks in the rule that when they pray the divine office, they do it in the presence of God and the angels. Elsewhere, he says, "Let us be devoted and grateful to such excellent guardians, return their love, honor them as much as we can and as we should. We are like youth, and we have a long and dangerous road ahead, but we have nothing to fear under the custody of such exalted guardians. They who keep us on our way cannot be defeated or deceived, and still less can they deceive us. They are faithful, they are prudent, they are powerful. Why be frightened? Let us continue as long as we are united to them, and thus we will live in the shadow of the Almighty." Blessed Angela of Foligno, who lived from 1250 to 1309, was a very beautiful, rich, and noble woman, well married, who had 7 children. Little by little, her husband and her children died, and she, at the age of 40, dedicated herself totally to the Lord, distributing her goods to the poor. She was a mystic saint who received the wounds of Christ, who reached spiritual marriage and had frequent ecstasies. For 12 years, she didn't eat or drink. She only received communion. She talks about the frequent sighting of angels, and she says, "If I had not felt the guardian angel, I would not have believed that the sight of angels was capable of giving so much joy." Saint Gertrude, also known as Saint Gertrude the Great or Saint Gertrude of Helfta, who lived from 1256 to 1334, says that one day she was inspired to offer communion in honor of the 9 choirs of angels. And God allowed her to see how happy and grateful they were for this act of love towards them. She could never have dreamed that she could give them so much joy. Saint Joan of Arc, who lived from 1412 to 1431, the French heroine, when asked by her judges about angels, she replied, "Many times I have seen them among people." Saint Francis of Rome, who lived from 1384 to 1440, had the grace to continually see her angel for 34 years. She saw her guardian angel night and day. The angel radiated a heavenly light that illuminated the room so St. Francis of Rome could recite the divine office at night and attend to other household duties. She saw him to her right, whether she was at home, in church, or on the street. If someone did something wrong in the presence of the guardian angel, the angel covered his face with his hands. The light that the angel radiated was so great that she could not look at him in the face, except when she prayed, when she was tempted by demons, or when she spoke with her confessor of her celestial protector. The guardian angel of St. Francis of Rome had the figure of a 10-year-old boy, covered with a white habit or tunic that reached down to his heels, exposing his bare feet, with his face looking up at the sky and his hands crossed in front of his chest, and his hair spread over his upper back in golden curls. St. Francis Xavier, who lived from 1506 to 1552, wrote in a letter to his brothers in Goa, "I have placed my trust in Jesus Christ, in the Virgin Mary, and in the 9 choirs of angels, among whom I have chosen as protector and champion of the militant church, St. Michael the Archangel. And I do not expect little from the Archangel, to whose care this great kingdom of Japan has been entrusted. Every day I entrust myself to him and to all the guardian angels of the Japanese." St. Francis Xavier was very devoted to his angel. St. Teresa of Avila, also known as St. Teresa of Jesus, who lived from 1515 to 1582, had many visions of angels and says, "I saw an angel in bodily form, which I do not usually see. It was not big, but small, very beautiful. His face seemed like one of the angels that were very elevated, those ones that seem to be on fire. They must be of what they call cherubs. I saw in his hands a long golden dart, with the tip of it made of iron, where it has a bit of fire. It seemed that sometimes he put the dart through my heart and reached my entrails. When the angel took it out, It seemed that he was carrying them with him and leaving me all burned in great love of God. St. Francis de Sales, who lived from 1567 to 1622, says, "Before preaching a sermon, I passed the sight of all the people who came, asking their guardian angels to properly dispose the soul of the respective souls to listen to my words." To this, St. Francis attributed the great effect of his sermons in converting sinners. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who lived from 1647 to 1690, says, "I had the happiness of frequently enjoying the presence of my guardian angel, and of being also frequently reprimanded by him. The guardian angel could not tolerate the slightest immodesty or lack of respect in the presence of our sacramental Jesus, where I saw him prostrate on the ground and wanted me to do the same. I always find my guardian angel willing to assist me in my needs, and he has never refused me anything I have asked of him. Jesus said to me, 'My daughter, do not worry, because I want to give you a faithful guardian who will accompany you everywhere and assist you in all your external and internal needs, preventing your enemy from taking advantage of the faults in which he thinks he has made you fall by his suggestions. Such strength communicates this grace to me that it seems that I no longer have to fear, because this faithful custodian of my soul assists me with so much love that he frees me from all those pains. When our Lord Jesus Christ visited me, I no longer saw my angel. I asked the cause, and our sweet Jesus told me that during all that time, he was prostrate with deep respect, paying homage to the infinite greatness of he that was lowered down to my littleness. And indeed, that is how I saw it, when my divine spouse favored me with his loving caresses." Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, who lived from 1774 to 1824, says, "My angel often accompanies me. Sometimes he goes in front of me, other times by my side. He is always silent or calm, and accompanies his brief answers with some movement of his hand, or with some inclination of the head. He is bright and transparent, sometimes severe or kind. His hair is straight, loose, and reflects like gold. His head is uncovered, and he wears a long suit that shines like gold. I speak confidently with him, and he gives me instructions. At his side, I feel a heavenly joy. I have seen, on occasions, angels over regions and cities protecting and defending them." St. Anthony Mary Claret, who lived from 1807 to 1870, said on September 21st, 1839, when he arrived in Marseille to embark for his trip to Rome, a gentleman appeared to him who was so fine with me, so attentive, so kind, and so busy with me during those 5 days that it seemed that a great Lord was sending him to take care of me with all care. He seemed more like an angel than a man, so modest, so joyful and serious at the same time, so religious and devout, that he always took me to the temples, which I liked a lot. He never talked to me about going into a cafe or anything like that, nor did I ever see him eat or drink. Was this person his angel? He himself also tells us that during the many persecutions that he suffered from his enemies, he visibly knew the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the angels and saints. "The Blessed Virgin and her angels guided me through unknown paths, delivered me from thieves and murderers, and brought me to safety without knowing how." St. Catherine Laboureille, who lived from 1806 to 1876, had the grace to see her guardian angel under the figure of a child, who woke her up on the night of July 18, 1830. He was beautiful, dressed in white, and spoke with a heavenly voice, and her angel says, "Go to the chapel, because the Blessed Virgin Mary is waiting for you. I will accompany you." She quickly dresses and follows the angel to the chapel. As he passes, the lamps turn on automatically, and the doors open. When they reached the chapel, it was already illuminated. When our mother, the Virgin Mary, appears, she goes to take refuge in her lap and feels a heavenly joy. The Virgin Mary, among other things, tells St. Catherine Laboure, pointing to the tabernacle, that when she has problems, go to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. St. John Bosco, also known as Don Bosco, who lived from 1815 to 1888, used to say to the youth, "The guardian angel has more desire to help you than you do to be helped by him. In every affliction, go to him with confidence, and he will help you." St. John Bosco speaks about the extraordinary case of a dog who appeared to him for 30 years, and he never saw him eat. He had the figure of a wolf, and he called him Gray, who saved him from many dangers of death. He believed that this dog was his guardian angel. St. John Bosco says, "One dark afternoon and a little late, I was coming home alone, not without some fear, when I saw next to me a large dog that at first glance scared me. But by not threatening me with acts of hostility, but pouting at me as if I were his owner, we soon got on good terms, and he accompanied me to the oratory. The same fact was repeated many other times, so I can say that Gray has given me important services. I never was introduced to the owner, and he was a true providence for me in the many dangers in which I found myself." St. Gemma Galgani, who lived from 1878 to 1903, says, "Jesus does not leave me alone for a moment, but makes the guardian angel always be in my company. The angel, from the time of day I woke up, he began to act as teacher and guided me. He always reprimanded me when I did something wrong and taught me to speak little. Sometimes the angel threatened her not to make himself seen anymore by St. Gemma Galgani if she did not obey the confessor in everything. And the guardian angel seriously called her attention when she did something wrong and constantly corrected her so that she could be perfect in everything. Sometimes the guardian angel gave her certain norms. Whoever loves our Lord Jesus Christ speaks little and endures a lot. Obey the confessor promptly and in everything without answering back. When you commit any fault, immediately accuse yourself and apologize. Remember to keep your eyes to yourself and think that the mortified eye will see the wonders of heaven." July 28, 1900. Many days, when St. Gemma woke up in the morning, she would find him taking care of her next to her. He would bless her and disappear from her sight. And the guardian angel insisted a lot that the shortest and true way to get to Jesus is that of obedience. September 8, 1900. One day, her guardian angel told her, "I will be your guide and your inseparable companion." The guardian angel dictated the letters that St. Gemma Galgani would send. She says, "Very soon I will write to the Mother Superior, but I need to wait for the guardian angel to come and dictate it to me, because I don't know what to say to her." St. Gemma wrote to her spiritual director, "After your departure, I have met my dear angels, but only two, yours and mine, show themselves. Yours has learned to do what you did. In the morning, he comes to wake me up, and at night, he gives me his blessing. My guardian angel hugged me and kissed me many times. He lifted me from the bed, caressed me tenderly, and kissing me, he told me, 'Jesus loves you very much. Love him too.' He blessed me and disappeared. After eating, I felt bad, so the angel brought me a cup of coffee, into which he poured a few drops of a white liquid. The cup of coffee was so good that immediately I felt cured. Then he made me rest for a while. Many times I ask my guardian angel to ask Jesus for permission to be in my company all night. He goes to ask Jesus and comes back, not abandoning me. If Jesus allows him, he stays with me until the next morning." August 20th, 1900. The guardian angel of St. Gemma Galgani acted as a nurse and delivered letters to the post office. St. Gemma says when she wrote to her spiritual director Father Germano Ropolo. I give this to your guardian angel, who has promised me to give it to you. Do the same and save yourself a few cents. On Friday morning, I issued a letter through your guardian angel, who promised me to take it to you, so I suppose you received it. He took it with his own hands. Sometimes the letters reach their destination in the mouth of a little bird, as her spiritual director saw it, who says, "She gave orders to her angel for the Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and her saint protectors, giving him closed and sealed letters for them, with the task of bringing her the answers, which indeed came. How many times, while talking to her and asking her if her angel was at her side to guard her, St. Gemma Galgani directed her gaze towards the place with charming ease, and looking at him, she became in ecstasy, and without senses all the time I contemplated it." St. Faustina Kowalska, who lived from 1905 to 1938, writes in her diary, "My angel accompanied me on my trip to Warsaw. When we entered the gate of the convent, he disappeared. When we again took the train from Warsaw to Krakow, I saw him next to me again. When we got to the door of the convent, he disappeared. During the trip, I saw that on each church that was seen when passing, there was an angel, but with a more distinctive splendor than of the spirit that accompanied me. And each one of the spirits who guarded the sacred buildings bowed before the spirit that was by my side. I thanked God for his goodness, since he gives us angels for companions. Oh, how little people think about this, that they always have such a guest at their side, and at the same time witness to everything." One day, being ill, suddenly I saw a seraphim next to my bed, who brought me Holy Communion, pronouncing these words, "Here is the Lord of the angels." The event was repeated for 13 days. The seraphim was surrounded by a great radiance, and the divinization and love of God were revealed through him. He had a golden robe, and on top of it he wore a transparent surplice and a transparent stole. The chalice was made of glass and covered with a transparent veil. As soon as he gave me the Lord, he disappeared. One day I said to this seraphim, "Could you confess me?" But he replied, "No celestial spirit has this power." Many times Jesus makes me know in a mysterious way that a dying soul needs my prayers, but frequently it is my guardian angel who tells me. The Venerable Consolata Batrone, who lived from 1903 to 1946, was an Italian Capuchin nun, whom Jesus asked to constantly repeat the act of love, "Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls." And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, think only of loving me. I will think of you and all your things, even in the smallest details." To a friend, she used to say, "In the afternoon, pray to your good guardian angel, so that while you sleep, he will love Jesus in your place and wake you up the next morning, inspiring you with the act of love." If you are faithful in praying to your guardian angel every afternoon, he will be faithful every morning in waking you up with a "Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls." St. Pio of Pietrelcina, also known as Padre Pio, who lived from 1887 to 1968, has innumerable experiences with his guardian angel, and he recommended to his spiritual children that when they had problems, they should send him their angel. In a letter to his confessor, Padre Pio calls his guardian angel the little companion of my childhood. At the end of his letters, he used to write, "Say hello to your little angel." When Padre Pio was saying goodbye to his spiritual children, he told them, "May your angel be with you." To one of his spiritual daughters, Padre Pio said, "What friend can you have greater than your guardian angel?" When letters reached him in French or in other languages unknown to St. Pio of Pietrelcina, the angel translated them. If they were stained with ink and illegible because of the devil, the angel told him to pour holy water, and they were legible. One day, the Englishman Smith had an accident and was seriously injured. a friend went to the post office and sent a telegram to Padre Pio asking for prayers for him. At that moment, the postman delivered a telegram from Padre Pio, where he assured him of his prayers for his healing. When the Englishman was cured, he went to see Padre Pio and thanked him for his prayers and asked him how he had known about the accident. Padre Pio, after a smile, said, "Do you think guardian angels are as slow as airplanes?" During the Second World War, a woman told Padre Pio that she was worried because she had no news of her son, who was on the front lines. Padre Pio told her to write him a letter. She replied that she did not know where to write. "That is what your guardian angel will think about," Padre Pio replied to her. The woman wrote the letter, putting only the name of her son on the envelope and leaving it on her nightstand. The next morning, the letter was not there. After 15 days, the woman received news from her son responding to her letter, and Padre Pio told the woman, "Thank your guardian angel for that service." Another very interesting case happened to Attilio De Sanctis on December 23, 1949. He had to go from Fano to Bologna in his Fiat 1100 car with his wife and two children to pick up his son Luciano, who was studying at the Pascoli School of Bologna. When he returned from Bologna to Fano, he was very tired, and he traveled 16 miles or 27 kilometers sleeping. 2 months after this event, he went to San Giovanni Rotondo to see Padre Pio and told him what had happened. Padre Pio told him, "You were sleeping, but your guardian angel was driving your car." "Are you serious? Really?" Mr. Attilio replied. "Yes, you have an angel that protects you. You were sleeping and your angel was driving your car." One day in 1955, the young French seminarian Jean de Robert went to visit Padre Pio in San Giovanni Rotondo. He confessed to him, and Padre Pio, after giving him the absolution, asked him, "Do you believe in your guardian angel?" "I have never seen him," the French seminarian replied. "Look well, he is with you and he is very beautiful. He protects you. Pray to him, please pray to him." In a letter addressed to Raffaellina Sarasi on April 20, 1915, he said, "Raffaellina, how it comforts me knowing that we are always under the watchful eye of a celestial spirit that never leaves us. Take the habit of always thinking about our guardian angel. At our side is a celestial spirit that from the cradle to the grave does not abandon us for a moment, who guides us, protects us like a friend, and who comforts us, especially in the hours when we are saddest." Raffaellina, this good angel prays for you, offers to God all your good works, your holiest and purest desires. When it seems that you are alone and abandoned, do not regret that you have no one to entrust your problems to. Do not forget that this invisible companion is present to listen to you and to console you. O happy company! One day, Padre Pio was praying the Holy Rosary at 2:30 in the afternoon when Friar Alessio approached him. He told Padre Pio, "There is a lady who asks what she should do in her problems." "Leave me, my son. Can't you see that I'm very busy? Don't you see all these guardian angels coming and going, bringing me messages from my spiritual children?" "My father, I have never seen a single guardian angel, but I believe it because you never get tired of repeating to the people to send their guardian angel to you." Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, also known as Saint Jose Maria Escrivá de Balaguer, said, "Have confidence with your guardian angel. Treat him as a dear friend, and he will know how to do you 1,000 services in the ordinary circumstances of each day." Many other saints had the grace to see their guardian angel. Among others, Saint Rose of Lima, Saint Angela Merici, also known as Saint Angela di Merici, St. Philip Neri, St. Raymond Nonnatus, St. Bridget of Sweden, St. Catherine of Siena, and many more. St. Raymond of Penyafort was awakened by his guardian angel for prayer. For St. Mary Frances of the Five Wounds, on the occasion of having a sick hand, the guardian angel cut bread on the table. For St. Rose of Lima, her guardian angel served as a messenger, and when the saint was ill, the guardian angel made her a cup of coffee. For St. Isidore the farmer, his guardian angel plowed the fields when the saint attended Mass. Once, St. Dominic Savio saved his brother from drowning, and when he was asked how he saved his brother without knowing how to swim and being so weak, the saint said, "I was not alone, my guardian angel was with me." Therefore, we can count on him for everything. He is a sincere and loyal friend, easygoing and helpful. Let us be grateful and tell our guardian angel many times that we love him very much and that we are very grateful for his custody. The more we invoke our guardian angel and ask for his help, the more he can help us and bless us. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face, also known as Saint Therese of Lisieux, had a lot of devotion to her guardian angel and tells him in one of her poems, "O glorious guardian of my body and my soul, that in the sky you are shining, full of light and splendor. For me, you come down to earth and you illuminate me with your light. You make yourself my brother and my friend. You are my comforter." Many thanks for watching the video. Please also take a moment to enjoy these 99 Catholics videos, which share related content about our faith. And also help to support our channel by becoming a member. Details are in the description box below. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.